Welcome to Cheaper Than Therapy, a podcast that journeys into conversations with the intention of demystifying, destigmatizing, and desensitizing what really gets talked about behind the closed doors of the therapy room.
I'm Vanessa Bennett.
And I'm Danae Selkin.
And we're seekers, soul sisters, and holders of sacred space. So join us as we dive into the ways that therapy can be connecting not only to yourself, but also to those around you. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cheaper Than Therapy. So today we have Jennifer, and you know, Jennifer sent in something that felt kind of all encompassing to me, and yet something that I feel like so many people are struggling with and always struggle with, which is this idea of like, what do you do with anxiety when you find yourself really spinning? And obviously I want to know more details from you so you can give us some color to the anxiety.
Just some background. I got a little wrench thrown in my life about 2 years ago, met someone new and got surprisingly pregnant at the age of 42. So after years of fertility and doing IVF to get my daughter, right? So this was a huge surprise. So everything was seemingly going well up until this point. And I feel like since I had my son, I cannot manage life well, meaning I work full-time job. I'm a CFO. I have a new partner that moved in. I have a new, now he's two, a two-year-old with my six-year-old. Like, I just feel like life is a shit show. And then the pandemic hit. I had my very first like full-on panic attack. I think it was like the month after the pandemic. Didn't know that that's what was happening, right? Heart racing, like out of the blue too. I was like brushing my teeth with my daughter. And all of a sudden my heart was racing. And then I got dizzy and couldn't really form sentences. Like I was super, super like confused. The paramedics came. I mean, it was a big deal because my husband like freaks out. Right. And since that time, so that was 2020, that was April of 2020. Since that time, I feel like, and I've been doing a lot of healing work, a lot of therapy that I'm, you know, I was in TAT lab. I loved all this stuff, like codependency stuff, you know, everything was, was really what I needed because I have so many areas I feel to heal. So as I was working on things though, and thinking I'm doing all the right things, I should be feeling better. I swear my anxiety has been worse. And I don't know if it's because just two children now, like I all of a sudden have this fear of death. Like I'd never had that before. Just everything. And so every day is like this whole like spinning of what am I going to freak out about today? Right. So like I'm trying to manage all my responsibilities, a new partner, a new house, a new this, right. So there's a lot on the list and I feel like I have all these tools and resources that I know what to do. But I'm really struggling with in the moment in the day to day to like how to manage it all. So I'm just like constantly drowning.
I feel like Vanessa and I are both wanting to take a really big breath with you on everything you just said. And here's the thing, Jennifer, I feel like everything you just went through that's on your plate would feel like a lot, maybe be a little anxiety inducing without a global pandemic, right? In the best case scenario of life. So I feel like I really want to start just by normalizing the experience that you had last year. I think maybe we haven't talked enough about the internal panic that brought up for so many of us, just the destabilization of our collective psyche, but then individually to not know what things were going to look like, to have no sort of sense of like, are we safe? Are my children safe? Is the world okay for me to be in? It's deeply dysregulating. And I think it makes a lot of sense that that was the response, right? And I think when something like that happens, when we have a panic attack, it is so scary in our body that it's a little bit like this, you know, constriction in our body of a response from the trauma that sort of becomes the somatic response that stays, right? And so I think it's really important to sort of name that and for us to dig in a little bit to the story I'm telling myself about this mm-hmm. when this comes up, right? Like the conversation I'm having with myself when I feel mm-hmm. these moments of constriction.
Well, what's so interesting too about what you said, Danae, is that, you know, the research actually shows on actual like panic attacks, right? Anxiety attacks, that once one happens, what usually happens is our body's anxiety and response is in fear of it yes. happening again. Right? Which is fascinating. It's almost like your body then like, yeah, there's all this stuff going on and I'm really stressed out about it. But the actual anxiety now is focused on like, oh dear God, please don't let this happen again.
Yeah. Because if you've never experienced a panic attack, it's terrifying.
Yeah. You feel like you're dying. Yeah. I mean, that's sincere.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I felt like I was dying. That's what I think. That's why my husband called the paramedics too, because it was like, that's all I kept saying. Like something's not right. Something's not right. Cause I never, felt such craziness in my chest. And in like, I mean, everything was just on hyper. Oh, it was terrible. So yeah. And now that is what happened, because when I got the vaccine, you know, 3 weeks ago, I had another one, right? Mm-hmm. So, in front of 50 employees, we had a vaccination clinic at the office, and last minute they switched it to J&J. I had been researching Pfizer. I was all comfortable with the science, the blah, blah, blah. And it was like the uncertainty. And then I couldn't chicken out in front of everyone because of my pride. And so I did it. And then literally I was laying on the concrete floor in front of people sweating. I mean, it was so embarrassing. And then of course the CDC pulls J&J. So then my anxiety went, oh my God, I'm dying. I'm having blood clots. So I'm noticing that now my, just like you were saying, Vanessa, it's like, I anticipate more mm-hmm. anxiety and panic. And so then I'm constantly like worrying about, oh my God, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then now my mind just goes to like this worst case scenario constantly. Mm-hmm.
Your
like
system right now is actually functioning as if you were the tiger's in the bush and I have to constantly be waiting for this tiger to jump out. Like that is, you are actually at that level of fight or flight right now. Yeah. And it's like your nervous system got kicked into that place and it doesn't feel like it's actually settled out of that place probably since April of last year. Yeah. And so I feel so much compassion in saying that, because I think so many of us know what that experience feels like. And it's exhausting. Like I can feel the constriction in my chest when I talk about it.
Yeah.
What I think Vanessa just spoke to, that what has been so hard about this sustained period of uncertainty is that we're still kind of in it. You know, it feels mm-hmm. a little bit like things have lessened, but this is just something that none of us as a human species that are alive right now have experienced, you know, just this continuous angst and uncertainty and what is tomorrow going to be and when are we going to be able to, you know, mm-hmm. feel something that really lets us have that deep moment of exhale. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to name and just acknowledge that you aren't alone in this experience.
Nobody talks about it though.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, I feel like, so I have a coach that I use. She was an embodiment coach I met 2 years ago, which is first taught me how to like drop into my body. And I started meditating and all these things, which has been helpful. But that's what I think when I had my panic attack 2 weeks ago, it was like, that's what she said. And that released a lot of pressure because I felt like everyone's judging me, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm having these big emotions and everyone's confused and like scared and, you know, nobody knows how to react to me. And so then that freaks me out because you start to feel so alone in what you're processing. So I think it's just the culmination of all those things just makes it all worse.
Yeah. And this isn't to just like, you know, I don't know, put it out there to calm you or anything like that. But I think the reality is you're right. I don't think anybody's talking about it. And that doesn't mean that it's not happening. Danae and I hear it every day in sessions with clients, right? And we're very open to talking about it. And I think that it's what you said earlier about your pride when you were at work and the whole panic attack happened, right? It's like, I think so many of us, especially in this culture, we have this propensity to be like, I have to put on a face. I have to be strong. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Like any indication of weakness is, you know, and so it's such a detrimental way of existing because it gives no room for being human.
Yeah.
Like you are a machine. We are still industrial revolution and kind of mindset, right? And like any humanity is weakness. And that in itself can be so limiting, because what you're feeling is normal. Mm-hmm. I actually worry, to be quite honest with you, I worry about the people who are so apathetic and seemingly showing zero stress response to this. That worries me more for them long-term, like what's happening with them internally, the suppression, you know, their defense mechanism, all these things. Somebody like you, I actually worry less about, because you feel like you're more in tap with the reality of what's happening. I'm like, hello, doesn't anybody else see this?
Yeah.
And I think to your point too, when you said, you know, weakness, because that is my biggest thing is, you know, and again, I'm the boss, right? So mm-hmm. when we had all these employees and then we had plant guys coming out from the shop, you know, these big buff dudes that were even scared, right? But then the mm-hmm. guys are mocking them. And, you know, so the last thing I was going to do was not get the vaccine, right? Because even though my body, I was getting anxiety, I was like, oh, I'm not feeling this. I shouldn't do it. I went against my mm-hmm. gut and my intuition and did it to save face in front of all these people. mm-hmm. And I think that's what really got to me too. It's like that sunk in for me the next day was like, why would I feel so much pressure to really, you know, what, prove myself to all these people? Like, what was I really trying to do there? Mm-hmm. And so that kind of ate at me for a while as well, because I do know that about myself in general. But it was just, the whole thing has been earth shattering to me these last few weeks. Yeah. And then I ended up getting a brain scan. I had terrible headaches for 2 weeks straight. Couldn't like go to work for a little bit. So my doctor ordered a brain scan. Like this literally, I feel like took away 3 weeks of my life from the mm-hmm. panic attack to mm-hmm. last Friday. Like it was terrible. So I'm just, I feel like one of the things that frustrates me or disappoints me is I feel like I know what I should be doing, right? Oh, and then like, I should be meditating more to calm my nervous system. And then my embodiment coach was like, no, sometimes you need to move the energy out, right? So like, I often get like, there's so much resources that have been thrown at me. Now I'm like overwhelmed. Well, which one do I do? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? And then I start spinning with, I just need someone to tell me what to do. And then, well, then you should trust yourself. You know what to do, right? Like, so it's like this constant back and forth. And then I've lost the ability to just like be with it and figure it out myself. Like I'm constantly looking for these
external noise.
Yeah.
You know, Jennifer, I think the way that I think I'll speak for Vanessa, but that Vanessa and I hold anxiety a little bit differently than I think they hold it a lot of times, than we hold it a lot of times in our Western culture, is that anxiety is something is wrong. We need to shut this down, make it go away, take something, do something, you know, there's something wrong with you that you mm-hmm. have anxiety. Mm-hmm. I think we hold it a little bit differently, which is that anxiety is normally a way that our system, our nervous system, our psyche is attempting to get us to tune into our internal knowing, right? You spoke to it when you were talking about the vaccine. Some part of my internal knowing felt like this wasn't in alignment for me in this moment. I shut down my knowing. I shut down what I was feeling, what I needed, right? Like whether it was the right time or not, what you needed in that moment was to listen to your internal gut feeling of, not right now, right? But I had to be the leader. I had to save face. I had to do whatever I've sort of been conditioned to believe that I need to do. And so I suppressed all of those feelings mm-hmm. within me, right? But where do they go? They don't go away because I pushed them down. They're still within my body. And so I believe that what happens when we suppress the things that we're feeling is back to the surface, anxiety, right? And that's what it looks like. That's how it shows up. So I believe anxiety actually doesn't mean something is wrong with me. Anxiety means something is very, very right with me. It means some part of my internal navigation system is trying to get me to clue into where I might be self-abandoning a little bit, where I might not be honoring my needs a little bit. Something that I'm not speaking my highest truth about that I need to step into. And when we hold it that way, it does become an opportunity for me to just get still and just say like, what do I need? Mm-hmm. What do I need that my body is attempting to get me to tune into?
And also putting a voice to it. It's like, it's almost like taking it and saying, instead of it being this, the thing, the panic attack, the anxiety, this giant thing, amalgamous kind of ugly, black, cloudy thing that's here that I'm constantly trying to like get away from. It becomes more of like putting a voice to it and saying, what are you trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. Like I'm listening, right? I'm scared, but I'm listening. And like, I'm open to hearing what it is that you are trying to tell me, because I realize the more I run, the harder you're going to hit me. The more, you know, I always like to say that like big emotions are like toddlers, and you have a toddler, so you know this very much, right? They pull on the pant leg, mom, right? If you're going, I'm talking, not right now, I'm talking, they're just going to keep pulling harder. The second you get down on your knee, you look them in the eyes and you say, yes, baby, what do you need to tell me? And they show you whatever little trick it is they want to show you. They run away and they're good. They're fine. They're going to go play.
Yeah.
They're so similar to unruly toddlers, honestly.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Because I do think that I try and avoid or suppress it. Because I get so scared that what's going to happen. Same thing with flying. I've had a fear of flying since this hour long turbulent flight from Baltimore. I literally cannot get on a plane again because I am anticipating that one little bump of turbulence is going to mean catastrophe, you know, event again. And it's the same thing that's happening here. It's like, I get a little bit of, you know, heart, cause I do have heart palpitations just normally, but the minute I start to feel that contraction, and I've even been getting tingling in my hands, I just instantly get nervous and I start trying to like distract myself or like get busy with work or something. Like instead I just,
so the work thing, I want to stop on that because I, what I'm getting from you, even just in this brief amount of talking, is we're not just trying to avoid and distract. We're also trying to conquer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We're also trying to muscle our way through it. We're also trying to say, you should be better than this. This shouldn't be affecting you like this. Don't be weak.
Yeah.
Right. All falls in the same plane, right? None of that falls in line with acceptance. None of that falls in line with listening, right? With being open to what's trying to be told to us that we don't cognitively know. You can't muscle your way through it. You can't think your way through it. Like, this is not cognition. And again, culturally speaking, right? We have been duped into thinking that our brain, our cognition is king, right? It's not. It's not the smartest thing in our system, right? That limbic system is far older than that prefrontal cortex. That shit's new to the game. It thinks it knows everything. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. What are you trying to tell me?
I need to pay more attention and listen for sure.
Well, and it's to me in the vein of like higher truths, right? Yeah. I always say that there's situational anxiety and then there's existential anxiety.
Right.
And I think last year, what so many of us were bombarded with was this like deep-seated existential anxiety that we had been able to brush under the rug for so much of our lives. If I just keep working, if I just keep productivity moving, if I just keep, you know, making things happen, then I can escape this existential anxiety that so many of us, if we get still enough, if we slow down enough, are left sitting in, right? And so a lot of what I found happened for clients was, you know, the world stopped for most of us and I was just there sitting in it. And what can I control? What can I do? What can I figure out? How can I get back in that space of something to not think about and feel these feelings, right? And let's, yeah, I can see in your body, even as I say that. Yeah. So let's take a breath into that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know the more I've been trying to tap into like just pausing, I even set an alarm on my phone to like check in with myself. Mm-hmm. And I found like my shoulders way up here and like such tension. And even like just a few times throughout the day when I pause and try and release like some of the tension, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so uptight all the time. I'm like so constricted. I've got to find a better way to like, it's crazy to me.
But I want to pause though. You don't have to find a better way to anything. Again, that's the doing mindset. That's the, I have to do something to conquer this, right? There's no doing.
I can't continue on this path.
Right.
Life.
But here's the thing. By doing, you are going to continue on this path. Do you see what I'm saying? Like you can't do your way out of it. There's a being versus a doing. Okay. There's a softening versus a hardening. Like, we're talking about very different, and this is way too hard to get into in like a 30-minute conversation, right? But like, we're talking about very different sides of our brain. We're talking about different levels of ourself, like, again, brain or spirit, right? Like, brain or nervous system. We're talking about a lot of different things here. And if we keep going back to this, like, I have to do something. Mm-hmm. I do believe that we're keeping ourselves in this same kind of chasing a tail energy.
Logical headspace versus embodiment,
right?
Highest truth space is what Vanessa's talking about, right? So what she's talking about is like, what do I believe is true about this life, right? A lot of times when we're in the realm of control and fixing and handling and doing, I believe I'm in control of this life. I believe if I just figure out the next thing, that will keep me safe. It's an illusion. Big breath. Yeah. And when I'm sort of confronted with that as an illusion, it brings in panic because I've been believing for a really long time that I'm in control. And so your work, Jennifer, I believe what Vanessa is speaking to is to drop into the space of what do I believe is true about who I am? Hmm. Big I am, you know, beyond this work that I do, beyond this body that I'm living in, right? That is the sense of safety that sort of cannot be taken away by the circumstances of life. That is going to be some of the work that I want you to play with tapping into, some of these higher spiritual truths, some of these existential knowing truths that become the tools that I come back to when I feel, you know, this sense of like life is out of control. I don't know what to do. I give it to something bigger than me and my human self.
Well, and I want to put a little bit of words to that as somebody who came from the corporate world and was very, and is still very do more often than I would like to admit still. It was really difficult for me, I think, to, I don't want to use the word believe, but it was hard for me to separate out like spirituality, religion, psyche, higher power. Like, what are these things? Like, I want tangibility, right? I'm a fucking CFO. I want some numbers. Give me some goddamn numbers on a piece of paper, right?
The math works, I tell you.
I get it. And here's the thing. Math is still art. There's still beauty in that. It's about taking out we can even take out the esoteric stuff. It's really about breathing into the softening, breathing into the being. Go outside and look at the way the light comes through the trees. And it makes the leaves dance back and forth in the breeze, and how you can see that there's different ways that the gold shows up through the leaves. Spend 5 minutes focusing on nothing but the leaves in a tree. That's what Danae's talking about.
Because the gift of nature, Jennifer, is it reminds us of how small we are as these human animals. It reminds us of how, you know, in control we actually are not. So I feel like I've talked about this on the podcast because I constantly say it. If we truly believe that we're in control, what we need to do, I love to use as an example, is go walk to the ocean, step in that body of water and make it stop moving.
Yeah.
Do that for me. Right. It's a very quick way of reminding ourselves the universe, the intelligence that created all of this, all the nature that Vanessa's speaking about, there's a rhythm, there's an order, there's an intelligence that is beyond what my human brain can possibly comprehend. So for me to continue to try to control and fix and know, there's some things that I can't know. I just have to trust that I am held, that I am safe, that I am contained.
Yeah. And I think for me too, I had like zero spirituality to me up until about 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of this is new for me, but mm-hmm. as I explore this stuff, I mean, I'm fascinated, right? Because I am finding so much beauty in it. Mm-hmm. And yet I feel like I'm wearing a different mask when I come into work, or like,
sure.
What hat am I wearing today? Am I corporate Jennifer, or am I going to be spiritual Jennifer?
That's what you have to pay attention to, Jennifer. That's what Danae was talking about earlier. tapping into and paying attention to when we get these internal, like, I feel really off. Like, I don't feel like I'm in sync. Something feels out of whack. Like, how am I showing up right now? Oh, that's weird. That feels out of alignment for me. I wonder if I could tweak this a little bit and show up in this way. Would that feel better? No. Okay. Let me try it this way. We are constantly an anthropologist of the self, right? Anthropology really is about sitting back and observing and noticing patterns, right? And it's not necessarily so much as saying like 2 + 2 = 4. It's about saying, oh, isn't that interesting? When this happens and this happens, I feel this, right? And when I feel this, then I feel this. It's like noticing, and that's the being. It's the dropping into exactly what you just spoke to. I don't feel like I'm in alignment right now. Okay. So breathe into that space. What could you do differently, even at work, even with that hat on, that you feel like you could tap into this quote unquote new self that is starting to emerge? You don't have to walk in yoga pants. Like, you don't have to walk in and start reading from the Bhagavad Gita. You know what I'm saying? But like, what can I do in baby steps that can start to bring into alignment this person that wears this mask and this maybe like new sense of self that's getting more into the existential questions of life, which is normal, by the way, based on where you're at in your life.
Absolutely. And I think the gift of you in your role at work, Jennifer, is that you get to be a little bit, instead of being influenced by the energy of the room, you get to be that influencer. And you get to normalize our humanity and that we are not alone in this experience. Just like you have to be the leader to step up and get the vaccine, you also have to be the leader to say, it's been a fucking year. You know, all of us have been feeling it. All of us are in it. All of our families are struggling. It does not help the people that work for me, for me or any of us to pretend otherwise, right? So I get to sort of set the culture in my work environment, and we allow humanity to live here. Mm-hmm. We allow ourselves to be human in this space. I'm making the decision to be a leader in that. And I think you'll start to feel the culture shift around like that as a permission slip that you're offering, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I like that.
I think in general, the work right now for you is going to be less in the tangible tools because you've got them. You know them, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be more about this idea of, and this might sound a little woo-woo, but it's really going to be more in this idea of acceptance, of softening, noticing the shoulds.
A lot of shoulds.
Allowing the humanity, allowing the messiness, questioning. Oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that is. Right? It's like you're a student again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, that's kind of great. The beautiful thing about this time in your life is that you get to be a student again. You don't have to know it all.
Yeah. I think the more you lean into this realm of the spiritual seeking that I think we're hearing you starting to tap into more and more, I think that is going to be where you find alleviation from your anxiety. So I would continue to lean into that spirituality, those teachers, that like whatever has sort of piqued your interest, keep going with that as a tool to sort of support you.
Well, and I even, Vanessa, I did your mindfulness course. That was really powerful for me. Of course, I chickened out, but just life, right? The last week or so. And I yesterday remembered, I'm like, oh, I want to go back and like revisit that whole thing again, because some of the exercises you gave us was so cool. I mean, I've never enjoyed a shower so much in my life. And just even washing dishes lately, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so peaceful. Like, it's just, so I know what to do. I think it's just a matter of me relaxing a little bit, because again, for me, I measure my productivity, I think, a little too much. And then that freaks me out if I fall short or I start spinning because my to-do list is so demanding.
Right. And
so,
like Danae said, that's all a mirage.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Measuring ourselves by our productivity is just a way that we hide behind the existential realities of life. Yeah. It all ends. None of it's promised. right? Like all of these things that actually are really scary, the way that we hide behind and not have to face that being big, scary stuff is by being really overproductive and trying to control. And right, it's all normal, but this is your work now, this like kind of second half of life, if you will, like what Carl Jung would say, is really that you get to soften into the questioning of it, you know? And it doesn't take away all of the like amazing things that you have done and will continue to do. It's just that you get to also now wear this hat, the hat of seeker. And I think what Danae is saying is it's under that hat, a lot of times you'll find the space to really, I don't want to say alleviate, because I don't know that those anxieties really ever alleviate, right? But you'll find space in that, in under that hat of seeker, to kind of make peace with, live with, embrace, accept. You're human.
Have a different relationship with.
Right.
Yeah. Because Vanessa's right. The anxiety will come. It does for all of us. We just have different tools in our toolbox when it does.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Thank you so much, you guys.
I'm so glad we were able to do this. And I'm glad that you brought this to the listeners, because I think this is especially very poignant right now, right? It's timely. And it's something that I think so many of us deal with. And like we all said, nobody talks about.
And we need to.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I appreciate you. But, you know, do us a favor and just shoot me an email, us an email, let us know kind of how you're doing. Keep us posted.
Okay. For sure. Thank you so much.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Man, I had to really track my own internal system during that session because, you know, anxiety is contagious. It's such a palpable thing. And I found, I know in the very beginning, we both took kind of a sigh at the exact same time, but I found myself as we were going through that session, really kind of continuing to come back to my own body and like settle into myself and feel myself on the chair and take a deep breath, because there's like this push pull tug of war thing that goes on with anxiety in the room, right? Where like, it wants you to get in so bad, and you've got to stay grounded when you're working with somebody.
Yeah. I'm like doing this like gesture of like bringing it back into your body and your center. And I think especially with Jennifer's story, I feel like it hits so close to like the realm of where you come from, like, you know, the work that you've done.
And do.
Yeah. And I think that it is. I think I'm so glad that she brought this conversation forward, because it is so much of what we are all struggling with, not talking about, grappling with, and having this reckoning around, I feel like, in the last year.
And I just think it so much further shines a light on the fact that our culture is so ill-equipped to have, not to have these conversations, but to hold people in these times in their lives. Like we just do not have language for, or reference, or, you know, the proper ritual or the proper platform to kind of work through something of existential nature. And I think it just shines light on it, that real lacking culturally that we have, because we are so go, 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 do, pretend that this stuff isn't actually there. And then, you know, when inevitably the human psyche says, yeah, it is, and you need to stop and pay attention to it, we don't know what the hell to do with it.
Yeah. And I feel like we always speak to the fact that, oh my gosh, the compassion that we have to hold ourselves with in these moments of these existential reckonings and all of the like anxiety coming to the surface, because this is what has been so deeply ingrained in us from like pre-verbal, right? Like that this is what we are supposedly here to do, is to accomplish something and make something of ourselves, and that will keep us safe, right? Mm. And I think Jennifer was such a beautiful example because she has accomplished so much. She is such a woman who has done so much in her career and in her life and with her family, and those things are an illusion in terms of their ability to keep us safe from these larger truths that are, you know, our time here is limited and none of us know what happens when our time here is done. And it is terrifying when we actually sit in that truth and contemplate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny how, you know, she started the conversation by talking about how the universe gave her this baby very unexpectedly when she had tried so hard for her first. And then went very quickly into how she's in such a place of swirl. And all I could think was, what a gift that she had been given, because it was something she wanted. Not like I'm saying everybody looks at it as a gift, right? But it really sounds like she did. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like she's struggling to be present with that gift. Mm. You know, so I really hope that through her kind of seeking and through this new experience that she's grappling with, that she's able to come back and settle into a place of really being and witnessing and experiencing that gift too, you know?
God, you know, as you said that, I just had such a sense of how much that is true for so many of us. Mm-hmm. As I've sat with clients over this last year, so much of what we've talked about has been the challenge around this time, the challenge. And I mean, please, this is not me minimizing that as a reality, but also there are so many gifts, about this time and space in the context of what it has brought on a visceral level into our awareness about what really matters, what's truly sacred. The time we have with one another that we haven't had for so much of our lives. And we're so quick to return back to what we consider to be some sort of normalcy. And I think there's a loss in that if we don't really, you know, grasp that takeaway, which was, what was the sacred lesson within this time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Oh, the existentialism of it all.
Mm-hmm. It's been a big year for that.
I know. And I'm just glad we're putting words to it, continuing to.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cheaper Than Therapy.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you want to connect with us, you can find us on Instagram at Vanessa S. Bennett
and at Danae Logan Selkin.